Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. We had a great time away for our 20th anniversary, and we really missed our church family. It's good to be back home. I know our staff did such a great job ministering to you, and it was just great reports from while we were away. So good to be back home. We actually, it was amazing. We were in Paris for a couple of days of our trip. We were in Paris and then spent some time in Spain. And I've been in Paris about 21 years ago. And, I speak some French, but it's like a, not Parisian, let me just put it that way. And I experienced something of the stereotypical sort of aloofness. People sort of in Paris back a long time ago, they seemed to kind of snub you a little bit, like, where did you get that kind of French? And you're obviously an American, that kind of thing. I'll tell you, this trip, the Parisians were so warm, so welcoming, so friendly, so happy to see us. It was amazing. And it reminded me of what our country was like after 9/11. The flag was everywhere. Everybody was like, I just want to be a good neighbor. Everybody remembered what life was all about. And Paris is like that right now. It's such a huge open door there. I feel like our church could plant a church right there right now and it would explode. I'm serious. It's amazing. Everyone's like, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go. Bon voyage. So just a really, really great time. And we connected with some very, very dear friends of ours that we knew from the Congo when we were doing missions work there 22 years ago. So just fantastic time there and good time together as a couple. Good to be home, though. And as many of you know, this is Super Bowl Sunday. If you didn't know that, now you know that. And this has become a huge phenomenon in our culture. In fact, last year, 121 million Americans watched the Super Bowl. It's pretty much the most watched thing on television. And even if you're not a football fan, if you live in the Bay Area, it's almost impossible to escape the Super Bowl. I'm really sorry if you had to commute anywhere through and around the city this week. You probably need some emotional healing from the traffic jams you were in. I get that. But you know, San Francisco's turned into Super Bowl City and the event's happening today in Santa Clara. And so just a fun time for the Bay Area. And there's tons of media coverage, all kinds of hype around the Super Bowl, all kinds of storylines for the big game. You can't really root against either one of these teams. They're both got such great quarterbacks and such great guys, all this kind of thing. But, you know, there's all these different storylines around the game. But we're going to do something a little different this morning for our message because there's a common story among many players in the NFL. And that common storyline among those players is that they are on fire, unabashed, unashamed followers of Jesus Christ. And they're saying, my life belongs to Jesus, and I'm privileged to play in the NFL, but this is just a platform. My life is not about football. My life is about Jesus. And what I want to do this morning is share some of their testimonies by video, and then we're going to share a few things from the Word and highlight some of those things from the testimonies. And whether you're a football fan or you didn't even know this was Super Bowl Sunday, and I just told you if that's possible, you're going to be blessed and encouraged by these testimonies. You're going to hear from guys, they're not all in the Super Bowl. You're going to hear from some of their wives as well. But you're going to see how they're standing for Christ, making a huge difference. And by the way, this is streaming, and welcome to all of our church family that's streaming this morning. If you're out of town or weren't able to make it, we're glad you've joined us by live stream. This will be archived later on our YouTube channel at New Life Novato. If you want to make these testimonies a part of your Super Bowl gathering today and have a pregame show of this and encourage people, I love hearing a little bit about what God is doing in the lives of some of the players in the NFL. And I just want you to know, like, we typically hear the bad news about the personal lives of players. It's in the news. It's on CNN. It's wherever. We hear about guys in the 49ers or wherever and the issues they're having in their personal lives. But what we don't often hear is from the guys and gals that have found the Lord in a powerful way in their lives. They're serving Him with all of their hearts. And I just think it's important that we see some of the kingdom stories happening in the lives of those that we all are entertained by in the football, in that sport. I think it's just very important to see, always focus on what is God doing. We all see the areas that He's not doing things. Today, we get to focus on what He is doing. Can you say amen? So Father, this morning as we share, as we hear these testimonies and share from Your Word, speak to our hearts, encourage every life in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and roll this video. It's going to be three different testimonies. It's going to last about 13 minutes. And you're going to hear from Drew Brees. You're going to hear from Thomas Davis. You're going to hear from Derek Carr, quarterback of the Oakland Raiders. All right.
You go to Sunday school. You enjoy hearing the Bible stories. And then you go to the big sermon, the big church, and you sit there, and I'm just, you know, me and my brother just kind of hit each other, just wondering when it's going to get over. The second to last game of the season, third round of the playoffs, I was the starting quarterback. I suffered a torn ACL in my knee. It was devastating, for me. Junior high school, too, this was when you're supposed to get recruited and just all of these things. I had to wait to have surgery for a month because they had to let the MCL heal before they repaired the ACL, and then I was still on crutches, and it was just, I'd hit that point. I had seen friends have that injury and never come back quite the same, so what I thought was just going to be my life, sports, I felt like was being stripped away from me. And I remember sitting in church on my 17th birthday and sitting in that same pew where my brother and I used to just goof around and never pay attention. And for some reason that day it was different. And I was locked in on the pastor as he was sitting there talking about how the Lord was looking for a few good men to carry on His kingdom, to spread His word and to live the life that He had planned for them. And that spoke to me. And it was at that moment that I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart and knew that there was something that was bigger planned for me than just sports. Fifth season, going into an off season in which I did not have a contract, I was going to be a free agent. I get hurt the very last game of the 2005 season with the San Diego Chargers. I've never dislocated anything in my life, but I knew exactly what happened. And I knew too that besides maybe like a broken neck or something, that that is the absolute worst injury that I could ever have asked for a quarterback. As I'm walking off the field with my shoulder stuck like this because it was dislocated, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm probably never going to put on a Charger uniform again. And then it hits me that, you know, I might not ever play football again. A few short months later, my wife and I were taking a visit to New Orleans, who was 6 months post-Katrina, and we're just looking at the sheer devastation and just saying, I'm not going to trust what I see with my eyes here because my eyes are telling me not to come here. And yet my heart, my soul, the Lord is telling me that this is our calling. It's not about just coming to play football and be a part of the resurgence of a football team or an organization, but it's about the resurrection and rebirth of a city, and we can be a part of that. We score, the Colts are driving, we get the interception, we go score, now we're up 14 with 3 minutes left, and yet you're still thinking, I know Peyton Manning, I know this team. In your mind, you're going through all these scenarios of what you're going to have to do still, and then we get the ball back to basically take a knee to win the game, and it wasn't until that moment that, all right, we are world champions. As people, do we want to see and touch and feel in order for it to be real for us? And yet, 2 Corinthians 5:7, I'll tell you, you'll be led by faith and not by sight. You know, so much of life is that. It's faith in God, knowing that He's got a plan, and at times you don't understand it, and you're not going to see it, and yet you just have to trust and you have to have faith.
For me, it was all about, God, why is this happening to me? in the off season, you know, I do a lot of work in the community. On an off day, I'm volunteering to help the kids out, encourage them to not be afraid to come in and get these screenings done. I get the screening done to get the kids excited, and then the doctor says, oh, you have a condition. Find out that I have an abnormal coronary artery. They say you find this out two ways, by doing the procedure that I had done, or you find out through an autopsy after you've already passed.
My heart dropped, you know, just fell into my stomach, and I'm not even thinking about football. I'm thinking about my husband having a heart condition.
Come to find out, no one has ever come back from open heart surgery to play the game.
Let's pray about it. You know, maybe you won't have to have it. And there's like three doctors that are telling us that's not an option. He's got to have open heart surgery.
We prayed about it, you know, asked God if there's a way to prevent me having to have surgery. So we send the test results to Emory. We send it to Cleveland. They came to the conclusion that if something was going to happen to me and I was going to pass, it would have already happened to me. You don't just go from one day to them setting up a surgery to 2 days later to, oh, you don't have to have surgery. I know that it was God. Best season of my NFL career. Halfway through the season, we're playing in New Orleans. Make one simple move, break to the right, and my knee goes out. Drew Brees is taking the Saints down the field. I got to figure out a way to get back in this game. But at this time, our trainers, they knew that it was ACL. It was one of the worst experiences ever. You know, going from, you know, playing extremely well, being at the highest level, and, you know, to be humble just like that in one single play. Go on, have surgery. The knee has recovered well. I'm strong, I'm fast. First day back doing the linebacker drills and feel the same pain in my knee that I felt in New Orleans. And instantly I knew. I rehabbed that second knee injury. Come back 2 games into the season. They're making a drive. I go to make a tackle. One of our linemen doing his job ends up leg whooping me. It's the third ACL. It's torn again. 3 ACL tears in 3 years. I didn't think that I would continue to be able to continue to play. In this game, guys don't get that opportunity.
I had to be strong. The only way that I could do that was to talk to God, was to pray to God. And if he needed to cry on my shoulder, then that's what, let him cry, let him get it out. And once he got it out, it was no stopping him. It was no stopping him.
Strategically set all of that up for me to win the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, for me to be a light to them, for me to display everything that had gone on in my life for someone else to see. And whether it motivates one person or 1,000 people, it's all been worth it, and I wouldn't change a single thing that has happened in my life. I knew that by this happening to me, I could motivate other people to continue to want to fight and want to push through the injuries or whatever they may face in life, because it's already been written. You just have to follow the process, be willing to stick it out. You have to be obedient, and you have to listen to God.
I will say that both of my brothers enjoy giving me a football and saying, hey, can you hit that house over there? Or hey, can you throw it that far and hit that sign? Or if we're at the beach, can you hit that umbrella? I think Christ really became real to me when my wife, who is now my wife, at the time she was just a friend, she wrote me a letter and it said, "You're not the person that I thought you were."
He would say one thing but act the opposite way. So he was talking about God and how much he loved God, and then I would see him, you know, going to the parties, hanging out with the girls.
Stay until 3 a.m., you know, all those things, you know. No, that was my lifestyle.
I thought he was so in love and on fire for God, but then I saw what he was doing, and it just wasn't adding up.
I remember at that moment, I felt so selfish, I felt so arrogant, I felt so cocky, but I was still a nice, genuine person, but all of a sudden, all these feelings came upon me. I got down on my knees, and it was finally that time where God kind of put his foot down on my throat and said, "Hey, I got special plans for you, and you're screwing it up."
So I ended up sitting down, talking to Derek, and he had apologized how he acted to me, he apologized how he'd not been, you know, living the Christian life.
And that next week, we had a game at the University of Ole Miss. And I got up in front of my whole team, and I told them, I said, "Guys, I've been calling myself a Christian, and, you know, I haven't been living it. You know, you guys know what I've been doing. I'm a Christian now, and I've asked God for his forgiveness. Now watch how I live my lifestyle." And that's really what a Christian's about.
So that's when we started hanging out again. And then later on, we started to date. Then we made it official. And then, yeah.
And I remember just looking at him, and I was just in awe of God's creation.
You pack all the first day outfits that you're going to go home with, and, you know, you're just so ready to take your baby home.
I remember I went to go grab the nurse because I knew something was wrong. You know, I've been around 7 nieces and nephews, but I'd never seen anything like that.
I couldn't sleep. I held him all night, sat straight up, would not fall asleep. And, you know, you're already so exhausted from giving birth.
You know, he had x-rays done and all that. He tells us Dallas is going to have surgery, emergency surgery. Before he went into surgery, they wheeled him out, and we all grabbed hands, and I prayed over him, and I prayed for strength. And I praised God that we even had one day to spend with him. And I remember just laying down, and I was so tired that as soon as my head hit, I fell asleep. And they woke me up, and the doctor said everything was great.
They told us at that time he'd spend 48 hours about in the NICU, and then we'd get to go home. Well, I remember 48 hours later, he ended up having a second surgery. And so we were home for about 2 weeks. And Dallas started to throw up again. So we ended up taking him into the emergency room. And this time the surgery was 5 hours long. So, you know, you're just waiting there like, was something really wrong? Like, what's going on, you know?
I kept telling my wife that he was going to be okay. She kept saying, "How are you so strong?" And I told her, "If you only knew." If you only knew. Because I would go into the bathrooms and cry my eyes out. You can be a real Christian, but be dying inside, you know, because we're human.
Peace that I could not ever explain.
That's how I know he's with me, because I have a peace and a joy. I can't describe it, but I have it and I know it's real.
Can we give the Lord a hand for some of those, all those testimonies this morning? There's some really common threads in each of these stories, and I want to highlight some of those and take us into the Word for a few moments. But one of those threads really is addressing the problem of suffering. And, you know, we all are going to go through things, but God will use suffering in our lives. Another thread we see in each one of these stories is that God uses all things together for good, for those that love God. And another thread we see is that every one of these players and every one of us has a platform God has put us on to share his love through to the world around us. And I just want to encourage you to dig in with me for a moment into some of these highlights. When I think about the issue of suffering and going through difficulty and going through times of pain and loss in our lives. I think we all ask the question that Thomas Davis asked, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Why me? And if you think about it, some of us had the thought that when we got saved, Jesus was going to take all of our problems away from us. And we had a rude awakening the next day that our problems, some of them were still there, and we still were going to have to deal with things in this world. Now, the Bible says Jesus saved us from our sins, not from all of the different kinds of suffering and things that we're going to go through. God actually uses that suffering in our lives. And as you can see from these players, none of us are exempt from that. There's a way that when your baby is sick, your little girl, your little boy is sick, it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire, it doesn't matter if you're a starving college student, anything in between, you are on the same equal playing field in the midst of that circumstance. And there's a way that suffering just levels the playing field in our lives. Even with the disciples, if you can think back to the stories like around Matthew chapter 8, when they're going across the Sea of Galilee and they're in a horrific storm, Jesus is with them. Jesus is literally there. He's in the boat. But here's the thing. Storms have a way of getting into our heads, don't they? They get into our heads. We start to panic. And they're there and they start to wonder, Jesus is sleeping. Does he even care about us at all? And they wake him, they shake him awake. Jesus has so much peace. He's sleeping. They're so afraid. They think they're going to die. They shake him awake and they say, Lord, this is the question they ask. Don't you care that we're perishing right here, right now? And Jesus was like, how did you get, when I fell asleep at the beginning of this nap, you guys were happy to be going on this trip. And how did you get from there to this? I mean, he must have been baffled by it. That's because it's what he said right then and there. Oh, you of little faith. What's going on here? And of course, we know the story. He rebukes the wind, the waves. He gets them through it. But that shows us something, that every time we're going through pain, suffering, trial, difficulty, every time we're dealing with that kind of thing in our life, we have an opportunity to interpret that in the wrong way. And the enemy is always there to try to give an interpretation of that situation. And the interpretation he always wants us to have is this: God doesn't care about you. But it's a lie from the pit of hell, friends. The correct interpretation in every trial, every circumstance we go through, is that God is with you, God is for you, and you are loved by your Father. That is always the correct interpretation. And I just love looking at this story because it shows us so much of how, you know, we really, all of us are going to go through these moments in life. I love listening to Drew Brees' story, and it's a reminder of Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. I'd like you all to say, we know. Tell somebody, give them the old, you know, touch some of your neighbor and say, hey, we know. Paul is saying this with the utmost confidence in his life at this point. Paul is saying this even though he's in prison and not yet in Rome, the place he knows he's called to go. He's still saying this verse, writing this verse, penning this verse with the utmost confidence that God is going to fulfill his plan in his life. And he says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Can you all say everything? It's underlined and highlighted. One more time. Everything. Everything. The stuff that sometimes God initiates something in our lives, and sometimes he doesn't. Like, I don't think that storm the disciples were facing, I don't think the Lord initiated that. But the Lord used it for good. There's things in our life that come our way. God's not the author of it, but he's going to take it. He's going to work it out. And he's going to cause it to turn for your good and for my good in our lives. And we see that with Drew Brees. You know, he has this injury in high school when he's trying to get recruited. And that takes, there's something about suffering that causes our hearts to crack open to the Lord. Really, I could say this, actually. When we deal with pain, when we deal with suffering, there's two choices that we have. It's a crossroads. There's a fork in the road. And one path is the path of bitterness, where we let offense build walls around our lives, where we decide to say, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, why is this happening to me? And we just get, we start to shut down. The other path is the path where our heart opens up to God, and there's something that gets tenderized inside of us, where we say, okay, Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to draw near to you. I'm going to seek you because I know that in my weakness, your grace is perfected. And I want to encourage all of you, all of us in this room, all of us watching online, to choose that second path where we say, okay, in the midst of whatever pain I'm feeling, whatever trial I'm facing, Lord, I'm going to choose to seek you in the midst of it. And there is this tenderizing of our hearts that can happen in the midst of difficulty, as unpleasant as it is, it actually kind of becomes a gift in our lives. And I just love how in Drew's story, in a high school injury led him to this place where he goes from kind of messing around in church, something he's totally, maybe overly familiar with. And on his 17th birthday, he's sitting there and it's like, it's everything's different in that moment. God has found a direct line of access to his heart in that moment. You need to know that whatever you're facing, many times what you're facing, there's a phrase the Bible uses called the fellowship of his sufferings. There's a way that God connects with us, meets with us in our suffering that we simply wouldn't have experienced any other way. Drew talks about that there. And then again, when he has the dislocated shoulder, this door opens for him to end up going to New Orleans and not just be a part of a Super Bowl winning football team, but to be a part of the love, the light, and the good news of Jesus Christ flooding into a city that desperately needs it. I mean, everybody in New Orleans knows about the Drew family, the Breeze family. They know they're believers. They know what they stand for. It's such an awesome thing to see. God causes, everyone say it, everything to work together for good. And then I love Thomas's story. You know, the one of God strengthening him. I don't know if you realize how significant it is. He talked about winning the Walter... I was going to say Peyton Manning, that's not the award. The Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. That is a prestigious award, but it's not just given for people with a full stat sheet. That's given to people that have character. That's been given to several men of God over the history of that award. That's saying, hey, you're not just a good football player, you're a good man. There's something, his testimony shined through that in an incredible way, and he has a testimony of not getting up, giving up. You know, he has a testimony of getting up and not giving up. Let me clarify that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 gives us a really well-known verse about this. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew." Everyone say renew. "Shall renew their strength." They're going to receive a strength that they didn't have before. So they'll run and not grow weary. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. They won't give up. And he had this testimony with three ACLs torn 3 years in a row of God meeting him, working in his life, not preventing those injuries. But as he said, God strategically set this up and strengthened him in the midst of it to bring a testimony of his glory. How many of you recognize that in every single test in our life? You know, the word test can be extracted from the word testimony. Every testimony we have comes because of a test. There's a test. There's a test in every testimony. And the reality is we all go through things. And sometimes we look at people that are on the top of their game or the top of their field or they're successful in life. And we look at them with a little bit of envy or jealousy. And they seem to have everything going their way. And we're tempted to think, you know, if I didn't face all these problems in my life, then I could be like them. How come they're the golden boy or the golden girl and they have everything handed to them and it's so easy, but for me, it's so hard. And we can get into this kind of thinking. I want to let you know that that thinking is extremely fallacious because most people that you see successful in life and successful in the kingdom actually made a decision to let God into their pain and let God into their situation and say, Lord, I can't do it by myself, but I know you can do it. I know that in my weakness, your strength is perfected. Behind every successful person, there's a story of God's intervention in their life. And we need to really make sure we put up a huge firewall to the kind of thinking that is just like, you know, not everybody goes through things. God said we're going to go through things. In Isaiah 43, he said, when you go through the fire, you won't be burned. When you go through the water, you're not going to be overwhelmed. So there's both the reality that we're going to go through things, and listen, the promise that we're going to go through things to the other side of the thing, the circumstance, the situation. The promise that God is going to get us through that. It says in John 16:31, these things, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Our peace is in Him, church. In Him we have peace. He said, I've spoken these things to you so that in me, in connection with me, you have peace. And then he goes on to say this, in the world you will have tribulation. A fancy word for trouble, trials, tough times, difficulty. That's going to happen to you. It's a foregone conclusion. You will have it in this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and I am in connection with you. When he says, I've spoken these things to you that you may have peace, that is not tranquility. That is oneness. That is connection. He's saying, no matter what comes your way, no matter what tries to shake the foundation of your life, I've said these things to you. I've ministered to you. I've invited you and called you so that no matter what, we are connected. And when we are connected, you will also overcome. So be of good cheer. Don't give up. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Can you say amen? All right. So I just love that story that Thomas had of not Thomas Davis of the Panthers playing today, I believe, in the Super Bowl. That story he had of God's faithfulness in his life and letting the test produce a testimony. And then finally, just I love the whole thing that Derek shared, Derek Carr, because he really went from playing church to surrender to God. And the test he faced in his life was a relational test. Somebody he loved called him on his stuff. How many of you love it when people do that to you? You're like, I just love that. Please confront me. It feels so good. Oh, I love this. No, none of us love that. But you know, somebody he cared about said, the way you're living is not matching who you say you are. And Derek could have responded like a lot of people respond today to his future wife, future girlfriend slash fiance wife. He could have said, why are you judging me? I'm not kidding about this. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I'd be able to pay for like a week of my kids' future college tuition, I'm pretty sure. About-ish. With inflation, I don't know. It's going to be a few years away. But I'm just saying, I hear it so much. So much. And really, when we say things like that or feel that way towards other people and their confrontation towards us, what we're really saying is, I feel defensive about you trying to help me with an issue in my life. And he didn't respond that way. He said, you know what? You are absolutely right. And he was confronted in that area of his life, and he was challenged to stop playing church, and he got real, and he fully surrendered to the Lord. And ladies, take notes. Single ladies, take notes on that. Just because some cute guy or some guy that has won your heart is like, hey, baby, let's just get together and all that kind of... Man, don't lower your standards for some dude that isn't right for you or for some guy that is actually supposed to be living at a higher place. Just because you're afraid you won't be with anyone. Don't do that. It's okay to play hard to get. Guys fall for that anyway, all right? So I'm just saying, like, hold them to the high standard. I said, like, men of God, like, amen to me on that. That was pretty awesome. All right. Guys, don't be mad at me after the service. I feel some of that, too. Okay, no, seriously. I'm just playing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this. And it's a great, great example of what happened in Derek's life. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? With all your heart. Trust God rather than yourself. Lean on Him. Rely on Him. Lean into Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And this is such a huge key, because in surrender, and Derek talks about that surrender not only brought him into the right path for his life, but created the foundation for the things they went through with their little baby Dallas, the testimony that you heard about, where they actually had a foundation to stand on in the tough times of trusting the Lord in those moments. Man, when you're living for yourself and trusting in yourself and then you hit those moments, it is not fun. But when you're trusting the Lord and He is the Lord of your life, you have a foundation to stand on. You have an anchor in the storm. And he talks about trusting the Lord with all. He's an example, rather, of trusting the Lord with all of your heart. And I just appreciate that testimony in a major way. And I want to just highlight the word acknowledge there that's underlined on the screen. Because sometimes we think of acknowledgement as kind of a nod to somebody across the room, or, you know, hello, how are you? Just sort of, it's almost like a very, very minimal level of relationship. But when you understand this word in the Hebrew, it means to know on a very deep level. It's described as the relationship first used between Adam and Eve. It's interaction. It's close connection. And what this is telling us is this: in all of your ways, interact with the Lord. Invite Him in to every part of your life. Whether you're an NFL player, a businesswoman or a businessman, a business owner, an employee, whether you own McDonald's or work at McDonald's, wherever you are, you're a student, you're a stay-at-home dad, stay-at-home mom, whatever your season of life, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. You're in the tech industry, invite Him into that. Interact with Him there. Let Him breathe on you to give you some of the most innovative and best ideas and business ideas and marketing ideas He possibly could. This is saying God wants to be involved with us right where we are in every part of our lives, and turn that part of our life into a platform for His glory. He wants to bring success and blessing into each one of those areas of our lives if we'll surrender to Him in it. Friends, God is moving in so many places, not only around the world, but here in our world, in our community, in places like the National Football League, in locker rooms across this country, in all kinds of professional sports teams. Same with the Warriors, by the way. They have a lot of believers on their team. They really do, that love the Lord. It's exciting to hear. These aren't the stories you hear in the media, but these are the reality on the ground, is people that really love God that are saying, I want this to be a platform for His glory. So the question I have for you this morning is, what is your platform? Where have you been placed? Where have you been planted? Scripture says, in all of your ways, know Him, interact with Him, acknowledge Him, invite Him in. So worship team joins me on the stage this morning. Some of you today would probably say, you know, I identify with Thomas Davis. I'm in a battle. You know, maybe it's not your ACL being torn three times. Maybe it's something else. But you're in this battle right now. You're in this struggle, whatever it is, whether it's emotional or financial or physical or legal or whatever. And you are just needing the Lord's strength, His grace to fill you today. I want to encourage you to receive His strength, to receive the right message this morning, that He's with you right in that battle, that He's for you. He's working things together for good right in that battle, that you are loved beyond all you could ever comprehend right now where you are, right in this season of your life. And that, as Rachel said earlier, that word from the Lord, you're planted, not buried. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Don't misinterpret it. Don't think I'm buried, it's over and done. No. I'm planted for a great season of fruitfulness. Yeah, there's tests and trials. There's moisture all around you. There's dirt. It's dark. But there's going to be a blade that strikes through that earth into the sun. And there's going to be fruit that comes. Understand the purpose of your season. Be encouraged. Some of you might identify more with the story that Drew Brees shared about. You know, you hear about him in that moment where he's 17, and maybe you're not 17, maybe you're 27, 37, 57, 77, maybe whatever, wherever season of your life. But there was that moment where he said, yes. I know you've called me personally to give my life to you. Or maybe you really resonate quite a bit with Derek Carr. You've known the Lord. You've grown up in the things of God and around the church. But you know that right now, you're not really fully living for Him in the way you've been called to fully live for Him. I've showed you these stories and highlighted a few verses and shared this message today for a few reasons. I don't want you to look at people on TV. You know, we can get entertained by sports. I'm not into sport. I'm going to watch the game today. I love all that stuff. I'm a sports fan. But there are real people there with real stories making a real difference for the kingdom. And I want that part of their life to inspire us and remind us that we're called to do the exact same thing. The exact same thing. Would you just bow in prayer with me? We're going to take a moment alone with the Lord. In a few minutes, we're going to have communion, but before we do that, I want to pray for a couple of things. First of all, you're here this morning, and you say, you know what, I'm in a battle right now. I'm in a battle. I need the Lord's strength in my life in a fresh way today. It's that simple. That's you. Put up your hand. I want to pray with you. Just acknowledge that. I'm in a battle right now. I need fresh outpouring of grace in my life. Okay, take your hands, put it on your heart this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare hope. In Jesus' name, I declare an impartation of a gift of faith. Lord, I salve to see what you're doing and to have a shift of perspective. Lord, for the question to change from, Lord, do you care, to, Lord, what are you doing? I know you're working. I trust you. Wherever you are this morning in that battle, I want you to personally let the Lord know, Lord, I trust in you with all of my heart. I trust you. I entrust this to you. I believe you. Tell him in your own words right now where you are. I trust you, Lord. I bring all of my heart into this place of yielding to you in this area. Let's receive his love this morning. Secondly, you're here this morning and you're away from God, or you've never given your life to Jesus. And you would say this morning, like Drew did when he was 17, like Derek did when he recommitted his life, I want to give my life to Jesus. You're here and you say, Pastor Caleb, would you pray with me this morning to receive Christ? Would you put your hand up right now? Say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Anybody here, just lift your hand high. I see you. God bless you. I see you, several of you there in the middle section. I see you over here on my right. God bless you. I see you, bro. I see your friend right there too. I see you, sister. God bless you over here on my left. I see you, buddy. Awesome. Wow. You can put your hands down. It's like 8 or 9 people here this morning. We're going to do 2 things right now. We're just going to pray. Well, I'm going to ask you to do 2 things. We're going to pray a very simple prayer. And as we dismiss the service in a few minutes after communion, John is going to invite you to raise your hand up here to be prayed with personally as well. So please make sure you do that before you leave today. But let's all just pray this very simple prayer with those that raised their hands today. Lord Jesus, as I'll repeat, Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice, for dying on the cross for me and rising again on the 3rd day. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Change me forever and make me new. I give my life to you. I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. Come on, let's really give Him praise. Those of you that prayed that prayer today, a great miracle is taking place in your life even now. The Bible calls it being born again, where everything is made new. And you're brought into a relationship with God and given eternal life. It's such an awesome thing. I want to ask our serving team to come. They're going to serve us communion this morning. We're going to continue to prepare our hearts for that. And our worship team is just going to lead us in a song. Let your heart be encouraged. Just continue to respond to what the Lord's highlighting for you today. And I think all of us can really remember, Lord, what's the platform you've placed me on? You might be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, whatever it is, law enforcement officer. Lord, where have you placed me? Empower me to be salt and light for your glory. Let's sing with the worship team.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Praise the one, sing it again.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt. Raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt. Raise this life up from the dead.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this bread, representing your body broken for us. Thank you for your presence in the bread and cup at this table today. Lord, we thank you that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, that you were broken so we could be made whole again. Lord, as we do this in remembrance of you today, we remember all of your promises that are yes and amen. We remember all of your goodness, all of your mercy, all of your favor. And we stand on your promises. Let's eat in remembrance of him. Thank you for this cup that is the new covenant in your blood, Lord Jesus. Your eternal blood bringing an everlasting covenant. Beyond the temporary, even beyond past, present, and future, forever. Lord, as we drink this cup, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood opened up the way for us to live in connection with you every moment of every day of our lives. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Lord, we thank you that there is nothing on earth or in the universe that can compare to the cleansing, redeeming power of the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this cup. Jesus said, take this and drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. Let's drink. Let's just stand up and give him praise. Come on, church. Let's give him praise. Lift your voice with this chorus again. Oh, praise the one.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. The one who paid my debt and raised this life up.
Sing it again.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
Let's give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Give him a clap offering. Just bless his name in this place. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for the power of your presence in our lives. Lord, for making us whole, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, I just bless each and every one of your people in the platform you have placed them on in this world. Lord, help us as your people to bring you glory in every place we are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.